Well, what a wonderful true story it is. And as we reflect on this morning, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you will open it to us this morning to deepen our understanding of who you are and what you would like us to do and to be. So, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, be with us now and give us, just as the wise men saw new things, that we too will see new things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things that I notice with very young children, and I've got very young grandchildren, is that they ask lots of questions and they don't give up. If they're not satisfied with the answer that you give, they ask supplementary questions and always want more and more information. I can see Hannah laughing because she's got little ones as well. It's a great gift because it aids their learning and understanding. But the problem is, as we grow older, maybe we will lose that tenacity to keep on asking questions until we really understand something. Maybe it's our pride that gets in the way. We don't want to be seen as silly or stupid, but the result is we remain ignorant or in the dark. Today, though, in this passage, we see that the wise men on their journey are not afraid to ask questions. But just for a moment, let's go back to the first week of Advent when we lit the first red candle from the patriarchs, and we remembered the promise given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And God said to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. A promise for all peoples. And the Christmas scene that we see on so many nativity sets shows this. Those who were considered unimportant. And sadly, the Jews, the men, used to pray, thanking God that they were not a Gentile, that they were not a woman, and they were not a slave. But in the nativity scenes, we see the woman, Mary, who Ali just mentioned this morning, she gave birth to the Son of God, Jesus. And the shepherds, with their very low status, considered unimportant among the Jews. And then today, we see the wise men, the Gentiles from the East, who didn't know the Jewish scriptures and the prophecies about the birth of the Messiah. And so they went to ask questions from King Herod, the Jewish king. All peoples is the promise. And in this passage, we see this promise being fulfilled right here in Bethlehem. So how did the wise men, the Gentiles, get to see the child born to be king of the Jews, born to be king of all nations? And how we need to remember that and God's sovereignty at this time. The Magi were often called wise men. They studied philosophy, medicine, and natural science. And part of this, part of their everyday job, would be to look up at the stars, which would look magnificent because there was no artificial lights. Now, if we want to really see the stars, we have to go out to the desert or the wilderness or somewhere to see them. But for the Magi, this was part of their everyday routine, to look up at the stars and think about what they meant. But one star stood out. It appeared. It was new. And in it, the wise men recognized that this was a divine encounter. No ordinary star, but heralding a new king, the king of the Jews. We don't know, because we're not told, how they knew. Early writings suggest that many at this time believed that rulers coming from Judea would acquire universal empire. But what we do know from the scriptures is that they recognized the star as a divine encounter in their ordinary, everyday work. So what about me? What about you? Do you recognize divine encounters in your ordinary everyday. And how can we do that? Am I expectant that God, by his Holy Spirit, may speak to me through something or someone in my ordinary everyday routines? You see, God is at work in his world, in our world, in your world. And so shouldn't we expect to encounter him in some way? Why not begin each day, maybe before you go out to work or before you begin whatever you have to do, that God will reveal himself to us through his word, but also in the ordinary everyday, the things that you do, the people that you meet. Give us eyes to see, Lord, just as the wise men saw the star and recognized the divine encounter and fulfilled the promise given to Abraham because they then went on a journey. Through their questioning, they continued their journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Because it was written in the scriptures, of course, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And they did, in one sense, go to the right place, because the Jewish people who knew the writings well were able to tell the wise men, yes, a baby, a Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Their journey so far probably wasn't very easy. No air-conditioned luxury Range Rover or an aircraft, possibly ships of the desert, the camels, but there would be hot days and cold nights, and yet they continued on their way. Probably when they arrived at Jerusalem, they thought, wow, that's it, we've arrived, only to be told you've got another 6 miles to go. I'm told, I don't know by experience, but I'm told that the last leg of a marathon is the hardest. And maybe, what about your spiritual journey? Are you finding the last leg of the journey even more difficult than before? Let's take heart from the example of the wise men. They do reach Bethlehem. And what does it say in the scriptures as they reach there? As they did so, they were filled with joy. Can you imagine the joy that we will have as we reach heaven? We too will be overjoyed. Or as David put it in Psalm 23, our cup will truly overflow. And then that word see again. They saw the star and then they see Jesus. And what do? They bowed down and worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him as they saw Jesus. When we studied Revelation 1 not long ago, do you remember when John had that vision and saw Jesus? He fell at his feet. It's a natural reaction when we see God as he truly is that we will worship him. Of course, we now see Jesus, as it were, through a mirror darkly. But when we see him face to face, we will fall at his feet and worship him. In fact, the scriptures tell us that all people will bow the knee when Jesus comes again. The challenge is, how well do we see Jesus now? Do you just see signs like the star or someone saying something to you? And yet you really need to find out more, to ask questions. If so, will you take a journey like the wise men? Would you join a group searching for the answers? We will have groups running in the new year for people who are seeking, who want to know more, who are willing to ask questions and look at the scriptures for themselves. If so, please do get in touch with us. Or are you one of those who've seen Jesus, you've accepted him? But then the question is, how well do I worship? How do I respond when I see Jesus? Do I worship? When do I worship? And how do I worship? Is worship of God a priority in my life? Maybe as you look at some of your Christmas cards over this season and you see pictures of the wise men very often kneeling before the manger, let's pray it will be a prompt to our hearts to lift our hearts in worship to the King of the Jews, but the King of all people. And then that wasn't the end. And then it says, the wise men gave their treasures. They gave their treasures. What are your treasures? What do you hold dear? Your work, your family, your church, your leisure time. What is it that you would be unwilling to give up? We don't always realize what we treasure. Are we willing, like the wise men, to open and lay all our treasure before Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, the King of all people, the King of all nations? As the carol so beautifully puts it, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. Our heart is where our treasure lies. Let us, like the wise men, see Jesus, bow down in worship before him, and give him our heart filled with all that we treasure. Amen.